Great Alone by Kristen Hannah. Read for you by Julia Whalen. Nature never deceives us. It is always we who deceive ourselves. Jean-Jacques Rousseau. 1974. 1. That spring, rain fell in great sweeping gusts that rattled the rooftops. Water found its way into the smallest cracks and undermined the sturdiest foundations. Chunks of land that had been steady for generations fell like slag heaps on the roads below, taking houses and cars and swimming pools down with them. Trees fell over, crashed into power lines, electricity was lost. Rivers flooded their banks, washed across yards, ruined homes. People who loved each other snapped, and fights erupted as the water rose and the rain continued. Lenny felt edgy, too. She was the new girl at school, just a face in the crowd, a girl with long hair, parted in the middle, who had no friends and walked to school alone. Now she sat on her bed, with her skinny legs drawn up to her flat chest, a dog-eared paperback copy of Watership Down open beside her. Through the thin walls of the Rambler, she heard her mother say, "Ernt, baby, please don't, listen," and her father's angry, "Leave me the hell alone." They were at it again. Arguing, shouting. Soon there would be crying. Weather like this brought out the darkness in her father. Lenny glanced at the clock by her bed. If she didn't leave right now, she was going to be late for school, and the only thing worse than being the new girl in junior high was drawing attention to yourself. She had learned this fact the hard way. In the last 4 years, she'd gone to 5 schools. Not once had she found a way to truly fit in, but she remained stubbornly hopeful. She took a deep breath, unfolded, and slid off the twin bed. Moving cautiously through her bare room, she went down the hall, paused at the kitchen doorway.
"Damn it, Cora," Dad said. "You know how hard it is on me."
Mama took a step toward him, reached out.
"You need help, baby. It's not your fault. The nightmares."
Lenny cleared her throat to get their attention.
"Hey," she said.
Dad saw her and took a step back from Mama. Lenny saw how tired he looked, how defeated.
I have to go to school," Lenny said.
Mama reached into the breast pocket of her pink waitress uniform and pulled out her cigarettes. She looked tired. She worked the late shift last night and had the lunch shift today.
"You go on, Lenny. You don't want to be late."
Her voice was calm and soft, as delicate as she was. Lenny was afraid to stay and afraid to leave. It was strange, stupid even, but she often felt like the only adult in her family, as if she were the ballast that kept the creaky, all-bright boat on an even keel. Mama was engaged in a continual quest to find herself. In the past few years, she'd tried EST and the Human Potential Movement, spiritual training, Unitarianism, even Buddhism. She'd cycled through them all, cherry-picked pieces and bits. Mostly, Lenny thought, Mama had come away with t-shirts and sayings. Things like, "What is, and what isn't, isn't." None of it seemed to amount to much.
"Go,"
Dad said. Lenny grabbed her backpack from the chair by the kitchen table and headed for the front door. As it slammed shut behind her, she heard them start up again.
"Damn it, Cora. Please, Ernt, just listen."
It hadn't always been this way. At least that's what Mama said. Before the war, they'd been happy, back when they'd lived in a trailer park in Kent, and Dad had had a good job as a mechanic, and Mama had laughed all of the time and danced to Peace of My Heart while she made dinner. Mama dancing was really all Lenny remembered about those years. Then Dad got drafted and went off to Vietnam and got shot down and captured. Without him, Mama fell apart. That was when Lenny first understood her mother's fragility. They drifted for a while,